B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thursday in a row, Dan. You should know what it is by now.
Wake up.
This just goes in one ear and out the other.
What are you, mute?
The cars?
Oh,
no, I don't know.
All right, two fills.
Yeah.
How many Thursdays in a row?
It just doesn't sink in. I'll have to write it down for next week.
No, don't even do it. I'd rather you not. This is.
Should we tell them?
No.
It's one of those Genesis journey.
It is the Journey. Former lead singer of Genesis.
Wow, that was just random.
Not Peter Gabriel.
No, it's not Journey. I was laughing at you saying Journey.
Oh.
But Genesis.
Okay.
Who's the drummer? Somebody. Yes, Phil.
Phil somebody.
You want to be hip with the kids?
He was the biggest pop rock artist of the 80s.
It was the Yaz of its time.
Take Me Home. Easy Lover. In the Air of the Night.
This is like you and you were
in the
high
air
school,
tonight.
So it stayed with you. Oh, yeah. Oh, Phil Collins.
Phil Collins is one. The other one is Philip Bailey.
Okay. Neither of whom is black, correct?
No, Philip Bailey is black.
Why do you want to always go black?
No, because you don't see a lot of guys.
The black thing.
Black named Phil.
We're not doing that.
We're not doing that again, are we?
Philip Dorsett.
Okay, never mind. All right, so next week. But what's the answer? It's not Phil Collins.
We did this last week.
It is Phil Collins.
It's
Phil
Bailey. Is it a band?
It was his solo effort. Career. It was Philip Bailey and Phil Collins on this song.
If it's solo, why are there two Phils?
Actually,
it's a good question.
Because they were both solo artists at the time they got together and made this song. They were never
This should be a duet.
They were both solo artists
at
the time of this song.
Right, I'm just
you ever hear
remember.
Huey Lewis and Gwyneth Paltrow? Cruising together, Smokey Robinson.
No,
the Jam.
Okay.
That's Philip Bailey is from Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Which reminds me to ask you, what ever happened to Earth, Wind, Moreland?
Yeah,
went that, played that for the Ravens.
Burning question on your mind?
Did he play for the Ravens?
It was such a cool name. It was because of the band.
He played every position that year: corner, safety, corner.
His name was Earth, Wind, because of the band. I love that. Mm. Who gets that?
He did.
That's pretty good.
All right, Dan.
What's his middle name? Fire.
I don't know. Brady hurt calf.
Beetle, I'm going to tend to minimize this. I think it's no big deal.
So you're going along with the Zoes, Karens, and rap sheets of the world.
And there is no chance that this happened late in the game when they were just piling on because they play 60 minutes, which is a great new excuse.
Why do you say no chance?
No, because that would be bad. It's like when Gronk got hurt blocking on the extra point or whatever. I mean, you just don't need to be doing superfluous things to invite injury.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
And with all these quarterbacks getting hurt, you wouldn't want your quarterback getting hurt playing meaningless downs at the end of a game. Back there chucking it because we play 60.
By the way, Cam Newton missing practice again today, so he's out this week. This guy Allen will play. It's awful for the league. Yeah. Awful to have these quarterbacks going
out. Bad turn.
So you don't think it's a big deal?
No.
Downplay it.
You know, it's something to watch.
I know, who's concerned because of the Achilles? That's Jim, right?
Jim
behind the glass.
Yep.
Achilles. I'm
raising it as a possibility.
Yeah, Kevin Durant, Andrew Luck. Yeah. That concerns me.
Yeah. That he's a guy who had an Achilles issue 2 seasons ago, most notably, when it was a issue that we knew about and it was disclosed that he was dealing with an Achilles injury. And now he's dealing with a calf injury after already having an Achilles.
Didn't Ortiz have this too? The Achilles in the back of the calf to where he talked about it took me literally 3.5 hours to get ready to play a game.
Right.
Yes.
That becomes monotonous and painful.
Buckner had that.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to miss time or miss the game on Sunday, but it's just a matter of does it impact the way that he plays when he's out there on the field.
If it were really serious, they wouldn't have told us calf, in my view. They wouldn't have given us that. It would have been lower leg or just more vague.
They can't be vague anymore. I don't think.
Well, can't they just lie then?
They could.
Yeah. They would lie.
I do feel better, though, after seeing him joking around with Phil Mickelson on Twitter about the Cavs.
How do you know they're not lying now?
Because
what if it's the Achilles and they're calling it the calf?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, again, you guys are extrapolating the Achilles from calf. I don't think they would give you something that is close enough to make you go there if it was.
So they'd say what?
Wait a minute. So when Andrew Luck happened, what's the first thing you said? Calf. You said Achilles, but not because it's Tom Brady, you're not going to say it?
Of course.
No.
Of course,
I said,
that's how it works. You know that?
I said Achilles because they talked about it with Durant when Frank Reich made that ridiculous comment about Durant.
Okay.
Like, based on, you know,
and his team was currently saying it was a calf injury.
Yeah.
And disclosing
it was
a calf injury.
I'm like, the ones that coach talking about Durant.
And
like,
we had,
right out of the
and
blue.
We had never heard that Andrew never Luck had a calf Achilles. Injury. We have a quarterback here in New England who's had an Achilles injury.
Vertically.
And now has a calf injury.
Vertically, not horizontally.
Vertically versus horizontally.
Oh, you have an Achilles.
Like what?
Achilles gets the tear. If you tear your Achilles, it's flat across. You could get strains up and down. You know, which
you have more detail on this then.
Oh, so tell me about the what kind of tear did he have? What kind of strain did he have in his Achilles?
I don't know that. I'm just saying if you.
Well, then what are you telling me? Vertically versus lateral?
So he has a tear.
If you tear your Achilles this way, it's gone. Like it's flat. You need the surgery to. You could play with a vertical.
Who said he had a tear?
Nobody said he had a tear.
Or he had a micro tear.
You just
which
did.
Is a,
you said he had
I
a
didn't
tear
say
up and
he.
Down.
I said you can tear your Achilles horizontally or vertically. That can happen.
All right. I misunderstood. I thought you said he had a tear.
No,
up and down tear.
Did not say he had a tear.
Okay.
Go back. Rewind the tape.
He had an injury to his Achilles 2 years ago.
Yeah.
In the 2017
and they
season.
Documented, to Jim's point.
When they documented the injury.
I don't know if they can
now,
hide it.
At the start of the 2019 season, he's got a calf injury.
He could have lost a ton of water to where his calf cramped up.
And Jim, rightfully so,
seriously.
Called you out for when the Colts said their quarterback with the calf injury, they mentioned Kevin Durant, and you were like, oh, he's getting Achilles. But you would never do that with Brady because it's Brady, not Andrew Luck, and it's the Patriots and not the Colts.
Boy, you put a lot of words in there.
Yes, we did. We just did that. We absolutely just did that to you. Because, again, it's Brady, and he's tough as nails, and he plays through everything, and he's going to play through this, and the Patriots will win by 40 points on Sunday, or whatever it is they win by. They don't have to win by 40.
They'll win by 30
if they
play
Stidham. They're going to win big on Sunday. They're going to crush the Jets on Sunday. Tomato can city for you, Dan.
No, it's too easy.
Right? March of the tomato cans will continue on Sunday.
Are you covering
the game? Patriots
no.
will do Come their in. Job. They will take care of business. It's not like that is at all a concern for the team, but I think it bears watching. I don't think that it's something to just, it's fine. Those reports come out so fast now, and I know where they come from. They come from him. They come from the player and his team of people. They don't come from the team. The team's not downplaying his injuries for him. The player is, because I think he wants to downplay his injuries, given who the backup is.
I like that theory, Beetle. I heard you talking about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think that's a good end. I mean, would you also...
And that's who he is. He's a competitive...
Right. Would you also assign that to the reason that he's on the field at the end of the game against the Dolphins?
No, I wouldn't, because that's not his call. He doesn't decide that.
You can't say I'm not coming out?
Tell him he's coming out and Stidham's going in, I don't know how he's going to, you know. Again, remember, Dan, when he came back out in that game, the offense hadn't really been on the field.
I understand.
The defense had been out there, right? Yeah. I mean, let's not make it seem like Brady had a lot of time out there, a lot of work in that fourth quarter. He didn't. So I don't have an issue with him playing in that fourth quarter. I have an issue with if you're going to play him and you're up big late, you just got to make sure you protect him.
Yeah, hand off.
Protect everybody. It doesn't just apply to him. Let's keep everybody
with the state of the
upright
with
and
the state
safe.
Of the tackles and everything. I would just, I don't know. It just, it strikes me as weird. I know that Dominican Sue's not on that team anymore, but I was worried about somebody getting angry about that, taking a shot.
Here's the action update. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. We can get to your calls coming up next, and we have Dan's dates at 12:36.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
Thanks, Tom and Worcester, for that. Yeah, let's not be afraid to get the shuttle bus in there. Fourth quarter.
Good job, T-Bone.
The shuttle bus to victory.
Meep.
That's what you want in there. Get Stidham in there. You're up big. 617-779-0985.
My man Beetle came through and surprised me with a ice-cold, refreshing Diet Pepsi, which just picked up my day.
Cleaned your teeth. From what I understand, cleaned your teeth.
Just cleaned your everything. Teeth. We have the burn, right?
Is it as cold as it was yesterday?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, that
they have that
cooler,
fridge down there at the right temperature.
Whoever does our cooling down there, excellent
our
job.
Whoever the refrigeration company is here, just, they've got it nailed.
Just right. You can almost crack the top of it and a little ice on the top.
You know, to get it just cold enough where it doesn't start freezing.
I'd put it at 35. Keep it at 35. Right now, 35 to 40. Mm.
Dan Shaughnessy with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Dan's dates coming up next segment. Let's go to your calls with Dan. Lee's in Quincy. Hi, Lee.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Lee.
So I have a question. So the other day, Greg Bedard was on from 2 to 6, and he was going crazy about how there's no respect shown for Philip Dorsett, and he deserves more snaps and all this other stuff. So do you think that it's more of a strategy thing rather than a disrespect thing, considering that, you know, Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon may not be there for the whole season, so to kind of get the most out of them while they're there, knowing that Philip Dorsett's kind of always the reliable, steady, going to be there kind of guy? That's my question.
Well, here's the thing. It's about coverage. Like, we looked at the tape on that third and, what was that, 17? And Brady hits Dorsett on a deep out to the left. I don't understand the respect thing with Philip Dorsett. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to double Edelman, you're going to double Antonio, or once Josh gets going, you're going to put Xavier Howard like they did on him. And you basically had a guy who was in camp here covering Antonio on his touchdown. Should have had him for another one if Brady put it up for the back of the pylon. He misread his release. But Dorsett's playing against probably their fourth best defender. And Tom's smart enough to know, okay, if I can get the protection, that's going to be the key moving forward. If he gets protection on third and long, where he's got to hang on to it, Dorsett is good enough to get the fourth or fifth defender's hips turned 17 yards downfield. And that's how they converted that. So I don't think it's about lack of respect for Philip Dorsett. Because if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm not looking at Dorsett saying, okay, there's my first read right now. We need to allocate our defensive backs better to where we favor Dorsett's side of the field. What you're going to see moving forward here without this tight end, Edelman on one side and Antonio on the other in the slot. How are you going to defend it? And what side is James White or Burkhead set out to, especially if they go empty? Oh, crap. We got Gordon on the same side as Antonio. See, they knew Xavier Howard was going to play Gordon one-on-one. And once they did that, they kicked Antonio inside. You can't cover him. That's the advantage you have. That's why Bill got this guy, is to help alleviate that doubling of Edelman to where, okay, now maybe we can double Edelman and Gordon.
What does Brown do for Gordon? In other words, with the whole dynamic. Is it a good thing for Gordon that he's here?
Good thing for Gordon?
Yeah.
He's going to draw the double most of the time, and he'll take the number one. He'll take the fastest defensive back on the field. Antonio will. He'll draw that guy. If they go man, it's like stupidly they went zone. By the end of the second half, when it's 30 to nothing or whatever it was, they started to play a little more man. Game's over by then.
Yep.
You like to
man,
think teams.
A little more zone,
a little more man. I mean, Flores comes out in zone. Like Antonio's first catch, is nobody within 10 yards of him.
Well, all three of them, I thought. And they just were giving it to him.
We had great coverage on a touchdown catch. That guy was in his hip pocket.
Yep.
Everyone should just stop playing zone against the Patriots. Like, at least give yourself a chance.
Part of it, too, is if they break one, it's a big play.
So what?
Yeah.
So what? So let them have the big plays, right?
I mean, because Tom's not going to make mistakes against zone. He's not going to do it. He's not going to make a mistake against zone.
Like, at this point, what are you going to do? You're just going to let them.
It's kind of conceding.
Because, I would say death by 1,000 paper cuts, though. But it's not even that.
It's like death, pick your poison.
It's death by 5 20-yard throws down the field instead of, like, you know.
Well, see, that's the kill.
3 20-yard throws instead of 1 60-yard throw.
Yeah.
What's the diff?
Like, to me,
either way, they're going to get it.
The non-deflating one, like the Antonio touchdown catch, is not the deflating one. Like, okay, we could chalk that up as that's a guy making a hell of a play because we had coverage. Third and 17, you can't get off the field. That's like you come to the sideline, like, okay, we're done. What do we got now? We got the quarterback in 3rd and 17. We can't get off the damn field against this guy. And that's been a trend over the last 3 years. Like, his ability to keep plays alive, 3rd and 12. Amendola was his guy. Now he needs to figure out who's his guy. It might be Dorsett.
So as Greg Bedard said this week, Greg Bedard did mention on Felger Maz that if Philip Dorsett doesn't get more playing time, maybe he should consider asking for a trade. I don't think he's going to ask for a trade.
I think he's going to be on the field.
I don't think that's who he is. But he's not going to get sort of the playing time that he would have received had Antonio Brown not been brought in and had Josh Gordon not been reinstated by the league. And his playing time now is looking a lot different than what it would have been, what he was looking at the start of camp. And Josh Gordon being traded here last year, he sort of got buried when Josh Gordon arrived last year.
Philip Dorsett had a ho-hum camp, if anything,
I don't think he did have a good camp.
No.
He was out there.
I said ho-hum is complimentary. How many days of practice we said, what is Dorsett going to do? Like, N'Keal Harry's the only guy making plays in camp. Really? And he was getting hurt every play. He'd make a play, dive, catch the ball. Oh, everything hurts. Get up. Oh, back to the huddle, take a series off, get back in there, limp through it, make another catch. Dorsett wasn't doing that. Dorsett did nothing in camp. Who's that guy? Inman?
Dontrell Inman.
Yeah, Inman. You know,
Jacoby Myers.
Look at him. Myers. Inman is the front runners. Barrios.
Oh, a lot of people have Maurice Harris making it over Dorsett.
Maurice Harris. Yes, based on camp only.
Now he's going to ask for a trade.
Well, no. He's saying that if he doesn't get the playing time based on his performance in the regular season, the catch streak on the targets, which goes back to week 5 of last year, you know all about that. So
they're going
to
use him. They're going to use him because he is a good route runner. And if it's 3rd and 17, like when Brady threw that, he knew he had to get to 3rd and 19 to come back downhill.
So you think he's going to get his playing time still because they rely on him and they trust him more than they do the newer guys?
Let me say, we're going to be able to draw so much attention with these other guys. It's going to create opportunities for him. Plus, he catches the freaking ball when you throw it to him. Just do a little more.
Okay.
He's a good route runner. He understands the system and he never screws up.
Good news for him.
That's a guy you keep. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Jack in Fall River on Yaz. Hi, Jack.
How you doing, guy? I had a magical moment with Yaz back in 1972. My teacher brought me and my classmates to our first Red Sox game. They won, matter of fact, against the Yankees. After the game, we went out in the back trying to get autographs, and Yaz almost ran me over. So my magical moment with Yaz could be that he can kiss my backside.
Yaz week.
What?
We're doing magical moments with Yaz.
The
man they call Yaz.
Music, please. If you're 16 and older.
Mike.
I guess Yaz was making a quick exit that day from the ballpark, too. Nearly ran the kid over.
You gotta get home.
Back in 72.
Get my supper.
Kiss my kinda backside.
Kind of fits. G-Roll almost ran over Jack in Rhode Island that day.
Kiss my ass.
Kiss my backside.
My backside. Would you? Hank in New Hampshire. Hi, Hank.
Hey, Joe, Neil.
Hey.
I got a magical moment with Yaz. I used to play pinochle and I bowled with Kyle Sr. And I had the Kyle Yastrzemski action baseball game. So I mentioned one night to Kyle Sr. I said, hey, Kyle, if I give you my game, can you have your son sign it for me? Well, that was 30 years ago. I'm still waiting for it.
He stole it from you.
That was a mistake to give up the game.
Bad Yaz stories, Dan. Last time anybody
heard pinochle?
Why was it a bad mistake to give up the game?
You never yield a piece of something like that. Well, hey, have this sign to get it back to me. You're never going to see it again. That never works. It's like when you loan someone a book, you never get it back.
I disagree.
No.
I disagree.
No, you get stuff signed. If you request and if it's offered.
Yeah.
Then don't take the
item.
Depends
on how well, don't take it. How well you know the person who you're asking to do that.
He plays pinochle with him.
He knew Yaz's dad.
Yeah. I would take care of it. I'm a follow-up guy with that sort of thing.
Oh,
a lot of people are not.
Dan Shaughnessy, stand-up guy on the memorabilia front.
No.
Stand-up guy.
Someone who trusts you, you got to do it. But you don't take that unless it's someone you really want to do it for.
Got it. Okay. All right. We've got Dan's dates. Are they good today, Dan?
Okay.
They're okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thumbs up on the dates. They are next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Today is September 19th, 2019. But with it being the 19th of September, we need to look back at history. It's Dan's Dates of Distinction. Dan, go ahead.
People born on September 19th, Roger Angel, the greatest baseball writer of all time, New Yorker, a lot of books. He's 99 today. Still pretty spry, as far as I know. David McCallum, none of you know. He was Ilya Kuryakin on The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He is 86 today. Jeremy Lyons is 71. Twiggy is 70. Joan London is 69 years old. Okay.
It's the worst dates ever.
Celebrity chef. Do you know Mario Batali?
Mario Batali. Yes,
he's in trouble for sexual harassment.
He's got some issues going on.
He could get a job at the Globe.
Yes. Globe should go after him.
Who does he work for?
Let the Globe go after him.
Who does he work for?
He's
himself.
Sort of himself. He's sort of a big deal.
He's got a lot of restaurants.
He's got a lot.
He also is.
He's a good chef.
He owns Eataly, which there is now one of in Boston, right?
How old is he?
He's probably 55. Late 50s.
No.
Late
50s.
59. So's on 59.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Late 50s.
There. Yep. Good.
Yeah. He looks like Steve DiAzzi.
Okay.
DiAzzi had a ponytail. He looked like him.
Jimmy Fallon's birthday is today. You
I
guess
love him.
How old Jimmy Fallon is?
47?
45.
45 on the nose, Hardy. Got it.
He's only 45?
I know. It's
he's so funny. Yeah.
So when he was doing Fever Pitch, he was like
young.
Like 30. He was like 30.
Yeah. He's so good for that role.
Yeah. Oh my God.
One of my favorite movies.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
So is a connoisseur of bad movies.
Jim, have I not liked Fever Pitch for like 20 some years? give me a break. This is not new.
Hardy, how old do you think Jim Abbott is?
From
Flint, Michigan.
Abbott Costello?
He's 52.
I was always going to say 60.
I'm a Billy
Abbott. I was going to say 60. He's only 52.
Oh, wait. Yeah. He had an arm. He just didn't have a hand.
Well, Billy Abbott, WBCA.
One arm, one hand.
He once showed me how he could transfer the ball. It was amazing. That was great. Pitched a no-hitter. One hand.
Yeah.
Joe Morgan, the second baseman, Joe Morgan.
Newton guy?
He is 76 today. Now, Joe's from Walpole.
That's a different Joe.
Yeah, right. Walpole down your way. How old is Ricky DiPietro today? And when he was the number one pick.
He's got to be.
A lot of money.
Let me think.
He's from Winthrop, I think.
Came out of BU in what year?
Yeah, never mind. He's 38.
Yeah, I was going to say somewhere around 40. Yeah,
I would have been old on all. I would have said Abbott was 60. Yeah. I would have said he was mid-40s.
Fox?
Jake LaMotta died on this date in 2017. So, you know, Jake LaMotta is?
He only died 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow. Raging Bull, Jake LaMotta, the boxer.
Oh, so you would love it. Yeah, Robert De Niro. Gains like 50 pounds for the role.
See what I'm saying?
They show him in the ring. He's young, thin, and then fat later on. Yeah. Doing stand-up. Yeah, it's a tremendous role. He won the Oscar for that. I heard that.
You whistled there.
I did. Stuff that happened on this day.
Dave O'Brien.
A couple of baseball things. The Conigliaro brothers both hit home runs against the Washington Senators on this date in 1970.
Magical.
Roger Clemens went 20-1.
Wait,
that would be more magical.
And they both played in the majors?
It was magical.
Can you believe that?
Magical.
Yeah.
I wonder how that
same bloodline.
How was that week for
playing
them?
In the major leagues?
And they ran over people in the parking lot. You know.
Magical. Historic.
They played with yes. They did. They were on the same team.
I got a yes story for you after this.
Oh, good.
Off the air.
Roger Clemens elevated his record to 20-1 on this date in 2001. That was a pretty good year. We think he might have been on the juice then. No one knows.
Wait, I thought you guys made up recently.
We had a very good evening, and I said I feel badly not voting for him.
Yeah, you almost said sorry.
I almost did. I mean, I do. I feel badly. And I do feel it's a joke that the Hall of Fame has Trevor Hoffman and doesn't have Roger Clemens. I mean, it's weird.
And what did he say to you?
We talked about it. He said, well, it's up to each voter's decision. You know, you make your own decision. He said, if you go by facts, you'd vote for me. I didn't want to get into a real deep dive on it in the moment.
You're going to vote for him now?
He didn't go by facts.
So. No, I don't think so.
Oh, damn it.
No, sorry.
Just vote for him,
Dan. I know.
Would you please?
Beatles, I may crack someday.
Put him in.
It's getting harder.
Just vote for him in Bonds, and you know what? You're gonna sleep better when you do it.
No,
what if you're dead next
year?
You're going to sleep better.
Even if you're dead next year and you wish you would have voted for him or something.
You want to die with that regret? You want to die with that on your head?
Speaking of death, in 1881, James Garfield died 2.5 months after being shot. So that was an assassination, a successful one in that case. Mm. Chester Arthur succeeded him. Mm. But he lingered for 2.5 months after that. The man who kidnapped a Lindbergh baby in 1934 was arrested and charged with the crime.
What? Just these dates.
That was a big deal, so. In 1934, the Lindbergh baby changed a lot of laws.
We're all over the board here.
It was a big deal.
We're all over the place.
Mary Tyler Moore Show debuted on this date in 1970. You. Also, The Twist by Chubby Checker debuted in 1960 on this day.
Everybody can do
it. Still
the
being
twist.
Played at weddings everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to do
that. And you
twist,
got the old white guy over by.
Oh, yeah, that's me. I can do that. On this date, September 19th, in 2016, 3 years ago, Angelina Jolie filed for divorce on Brad Pitt.
She's weird.
Yeah, a lot of weirdness there.
That's strange.
On this date, 1985, Mexico City was rocked by an earthquake. Many were killed. I could tell you, it was 9,500. That's many.
way you say it, the way you deliver
on this date in 1982, the smiley emoji was invented by a professor at Carnegie Mellon.
I thought
this is the one on with the side with the.
You know, it says something about a person that uses emojis.
The semicolon, and you know, you do the.
That was invented?
I thought Forrest Gump invented that. Remember
well, that's
that
the one.
No,
the
he
sticker.
Did Bubba Gump shrimp up
the emoji.
Okay, so.
They said coconut shrimp they had.
So he sat in a lab. He said, how do I indicate happiness using only what I have at my disposal
keyboard.
On my keyboard?
That was it.
Colon, end parenthesis. Eureka! I invented it.
Someone just walked by from our... What web or IT staff?
Digital,
what?
Yeah.
From digital and said that's an emoticon, not an emoji, and just kept walking.
Yeah.
That's called an emoticon.
Nerds.
Same who said that?
Was it Stacks?
Some nerd.
I thought they were the Stacks. Same thing. I thought they were
Stacks. Stack. Does it say emoticon there?
It does say emoticon.
See, the story has it right. Emoticon. Yeah.
Details. On this date, 1986.
That's an emoticon. Idiot.
White Sox pitcher Joe Colley pitched what may have been the worst no-hitter in the history of baseball. Issuing 7 walks and winning against the Angels 7-1.
I mean, that's not even worth mentioning.
He never won another game in the big leagues.
He sucked.
He finished his career with a no-hitter with 7 walks and gave up a run.
They could pitch a no-hitter.
They couldn't get a hit because everything was down to the dirt.
Exactly.
Like, I can't hit that. can't make contact.
Pro commercial.
That's all I've got. Anybody else?
I failed to see anything worth mentioning here outside of what you've mentioned.
We got a bunch of good. First of all, I'm surprised you weren't on this. Graham Parsons.
Alan Parsons Project.
Graham Parsons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Died of multiple drug use, but this is why it's noteworthy. Two of his friends stashed his body in a borrowed hearse, drove it to the middle of Joshua Tree, and then set it on fire, which they got charged with.
Holy
However,
smokes.
This was the deal because at a funeral a few months ago, Parsons made a pact. He said, if one of us dies, take the body to Joshua Tree and cremate it. So his friends were just doing what he was asking, but they have gotten in trouble for doing that. We have a couple of releases.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, premieres. Mary Tyler Moore Show premiere.
Yeah,
you had that one?
That,
okay.
Yeah.
Had The Twist.
You have Bon Jovi.
No.
Did not.
Releasing their fourth album, New Jersey, with the most top 10 hits of any rock/glam metal album.
Nice.
So that's a pretty
sort of specific,
heavy distinction.
Very narrow.
Yeah. That's rock, glam metal, hair, a little bit. Nah, there's something there. Are we listening to Bon Jovi? Is this something from New Jersey?
I don't know. We're for overtime, though.
Okay, well, this one you want.
Well, this is important, Dan.
On this day, 1990. Goodfellas was released in theaters.
How did I miss that?
And we have a Goodfellas connection on this show.
Funny how?
The intern let it be known earlier that his mother is cousins with? Is he going to say it himself? Oh, my God.
Paul Sorvino.
So I said to him, you are cousins with Paul Sorvino.
So you're related to Paul Sorvino?
And he's like, well, it's my mom's cousin. I said, that makes you his cousin.
And his daughter.
Mira Sorvino.
How long is he going to hold that out on us
yeah,
for?
That was good.
I said, if he had just put that in his resume, we would have just got the job right away.
How closely related cousins? I mean, is your mother's parents like brothers or sisters, but Paul
Sorvino?
Brian,
the intern's uncle, is Paul Sorvino.
Yeah, so it's my mom's grandmother who just passed away, her cousin.
I think Michael Kay is also related.
Why don't you have him in?
Check it out.
And he can reenact when he was cooking the sausages, when the bulldog was sitting next to him.
So are you close enough that
I could sit there and I could talk like this?
Yeah, have you ever met him?
Seen him and met him? And
I have not, but she met him, I believe, at the funeral a couple years ago.
Wow.
Michael Kay is also related to him. Look it up.
You're a piece of work, man. Keep him up there on TV.
Oh, Dan's leaving. Bye.
We got a picture of Paul Sorvino we can share?
Pull it up.
Thank
you. Paulie.
You got me that Goodfellas thing all signed up. You did that, right? You got me the poster.
Bye, Dan.
The frame poster.
He really left. I mean, he's gone.
He's not happy.
I don't think he's happy with us.
He's not happy with us today. Not See, Dan.
Not happy with me. Then what are you going to do? It happens. Bye, Dan. Mm-hmm. See you later. Okay, 617-779-0985. We got plenty more to get to on the show today, including a little chat with Bruce Arena. That's coming up.
I scared the hell out of him last week.
Aliens on the docket today.
I would definitely going to do the aliens thing because now
somebody said, ask Dan when typing 58008 and turn it upside down on a calculator. When was that invented? Right. Is that an invention? Or I figured out how to spell boobs on my calculator. I'm Eureka. You're not really an invention.
Like I think they marked the date. Ladies and gentlemen, allow us to mark this date in history as the day this was invented.
What?
Why today? Bruce Arena next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand, 12:55 on this Thursday. Make sure you check out our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. You miss any part of our show, you can download the podcast there. Not only there, but through any of your favorite podcasting apps as well. You can download each hour. Or, Zoe, if you're a little short on time, you can always download the show in a nutshell.
Nutshell.
In a nutshell.
No relation to nutmeg. Nutshell.
No, nutshell. Condensed version of the show. You can listen to all the best of from the show each day in our app and on our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in sporting director and head coach of the New England Revolution. It's Bruce Arena joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I scared the hell out of you last week when you were coming out of the building, didn't I?
They sure did. Sure did. This weekend, I hope nobody scares the hell out of me. It's a big game for us, and I never like saying this, but this is a must-win for us. We have to win this game.
Okay, so the draw at Orlando City, we've talked about this a lot. A draw, an acceptable result normally when you're on the road. Is it still acceptable when you're in the position you are playoff-wise and you've got a 3-1 lead at the half?
No, I don't think so. I didn't think so either.
I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But this weekend, you know, real simple. We have two home games left. If we win both of them, we're in the playoffs. They're not going to be easy. So that obviously this game's critically important on Saturday.
Let me can I ask you this question. This may even be a silly question. Like, you know, we deal with the Patriots. I deal a lot with them, and I talk to Coach, and he's like, well, you know, I got to go back, and we got to look at the film, and then we break it down. How much do you really dwell on film after that, or is it more you're in the moment, you understand it, and we really don't have to go?
We look at a lot of film, and you know, it's obviously it's not to the extent you use film in football because, you know, football is obviously a different sport.
Right.
Timeouts, the plays, the set, all of that, you know, a completely different animal. But our players get a review of the previous game, and we show them the good and the bad. And we work on it, and we just try to get our team better each week.
So why do you think it is that maintaining a lead has been a problem for your team? And I know that this has been something that has sort of been an issue for the team before you arrived. Why has that been a problem?
Well, I don't think it's been that big a problem. You know, since I've arrived, we've only lost two games in 3.5 months. So it's not like we've been terrible, but we could be better. We probably have among the top five records in the league over the last 3 months. So we've done well. But listen, this is like any other sport, but it's amplified in soccer. It's a low-scoring sport. So one goal doesn't guarantee anything. And, you know, if you give up a goal and you're trailing in a game, it's difficult. But there's, you know, every game is different. And, you know, we need to have a better mentality. One thing we don't have is we have a team that is fairly aggressive going forward, and they're not that comfortable sitting back. And there are times you have to sit back and protect the lead, and we have not done that well. And that's probably something I can attribute to me as well. I've got to be much clearer with the message to our team when we're trying to hold on to a lead late in the game.
All right, so you said that this Saturday is a must win against Real Salt Lake. And they're in fourth place right now in the West, but there is a bunch of teams bunched together at 3, 4, 5, 6. So do they seem more dangerous to you than Portland does, who is sitting in the eighth spot right now with 43 points, and that's the team you face next week on the road? Which matchup is more dangerous?
I think they're all dangerous. And then the following Sunday, we have New York City FC at home, and then we end up the season in Atlanta, where Atlanta's probably thinking that they have a possibility of winning the Eastern Conference and having a home field advantage and not having to play a first-round game. So every game we have ahead of us is going to be really difficult. But I would tell you this, and this is sounds like an old cliche, we have to take it one game at a time, and certainly the next game is the most important game for us. You know, we need to get 3 points, so we're going to throw everything we can into the game, and be great if we can get a lot of support in the stands on Saturday.
So given where the team is right now, being right now in the playoff picture, pretty much controlling what happens from here on out, right? I would say you control your destiny, as we like to say. Is it a fair expectation to have the team in the playoffs? To say this team needs to be in?
I think that's fair. I think if you answered that question to me 3 months ago, I would have said you're an absolute lunatic.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah.
We do it every day, Coach.
So I think we have to give the team some credit for where they've gotten themselves now. And I think that's a tremendous credit to the team. But now we're at a point where, you know, we got to get in the playoffs.
All right.
No question about it.
Perfect weather, too, for Saturday. I mean, it's a perfect day to get to Gillette.
Yeah, it should be a great day. So hopefully we can get the 3 points.
So this is a playoff team. Get out there. Support this team Saturday.
Yes.
Regular season is winding down.
Sense of urgency.
And this has been a really great turnaround for the team mid-season that has happened. So Saturday is the next one up for the Revs. Coach, thank you for the time.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Bruce Arena joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Clyde and I will have the quick pregame starting at 7:30, halftime, postgame match, all that stuff, or postgame show, all that stuff.
It's really right here. Ridiculous, the turnaround. Start of the year, they were in shambles.
I would have
and now
lunatic.
And now What?
Yeah, no, I mean, he asked me months ago.
I would have been hard-pressed.
Raging lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah. And earlier in the season, I would have been hard-pressed to make a compelling, convincing argument that this was a good product to go out and see.
No.
Now, Gustavo Bow, Carlos Heel, the way Turner's been playing, all of it. Like, you want a perfectly enjoyable and acceptable way watch a couple hours of something on Saturday night other than whatever it is. Come to that match. And again, the crowds have been better. They're filling up. It's a good take.
He wants
you
there now. Yeah.
And, anyway, and that's just, like he said, there's the head coach telling you it's a must win.
That's it. They'll be ready.
He says things that no other coaches say.
Could you, well, imagine? You tell it's different. This week's different.
Well, he's just kind of different. So it's great. I love talking to him, but it's true. You got to get the 3 points at home. And then you've got a little bit of wiggle room against Portland next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.